Communications Complex. With some misgivings, Aditi walked with Castiglione and Dr. Frankenheimer down a long corridor. She saw that the doors on either side were unmarked, and the corridor ended in a double door also unmarked. Castiglione was wearing a fitted military-style tunic, complete with epaulettes. Frankenheimer was in ordinary street clothes, a collarless tan-checkered jacket that somehow complemented his thinning light brown hair and round youthful face. Aditi had found a sunny yellow blouse and midnight blue skirt among the clothes that had been delivered to her apartment in the communications complex. Castiglione was chatting cheerfully as though he had forgotten about the slap in the face Aditi had given him the night before, or at least put it out of his mind for the time being.
"Don't be worried, lovely one. The procedure is totally painless. Isn't that correct, doctor?"
Frankenheimer nodded. But while Castiglione was smiling toothily, the neurophysiologist's boyish face looked quite serious, concerned.
"It's a completely non-invasive procedure, Mrs. Kell," he assured her. "You won't feel a thing, and it won't affect your brain at all. It's just, well, taking a picture of what's inside your skull."
"With neutrinos?" Aditi asked. "I thought they didn't interact with matter." His brows knitting slightly, Frankenheimer said,
"They don't, hardly at all. But if you produce enough of them, you can get useful information from the relatively few interactions they do have."
Before Aditi could respond, he added, "You should talk to a physicist about it, I suppose. I merely use what they've built."
Mitchell Thornberry, Aditi thought. Mitch would understand it.
Castiglione laughed.
"You should go through the procedure with me first." To Aditi, he said, "That will show you there's nothing to fear."
"I'm not afraid," Aditi said.
It was almost true.
"Good."
Castiglione cocked his head slightly, then added,
"I suppose a picture of what's inside my head would show that it's empty."
"No," Aditi retorted silently. "An image of your brain would show filth." The inside of the imaging laboratory reminded Aditi a little of her own educational center back on New Earth. It was a small room, slightly colder than the corridor outside. A set of consoles lined one wall. A desk and several plastic chairs stood along the wall opposite. In the center was a recliner, and behind the chair rose a metal arch studded with lights and display screens. She saw tracks set into the floor on either side of the recliner. Castiglione fell silent. He stood by the door and crossed his arms over his chest. Frankenheimer led Aditi to the recliner chair.
"This arch contains the neutrino scanner," he explained. "It will slide along these tracks and take a three-dimensional image of your brain."
"I understand," said Aditi.
"If you'll just sit in the chair and relax, this should be over with in a few minutes."
Aditi sat, wondering what Frankenheimer's reaction would be if she shut down the scanner's electrical circuitry. No, she decided. Let them go ahead with this procedure. I want to get this over with. I don't want to frustrate them, or frighten them. She cranked the chair down to its reclined position and closed her eyes. Just as she did so, she heard a phone chime. Opening her eyes, she saw Castiglione putting his phone to his ear, his smile suddenly gone. Janosz Rudaki sat before Anita Halleck's imposing desk.
"It was good of you to come on such short notice," she said with a forced smile.
Rudaki grimaced slightly. "I thought it would be better to answer your summons than to have you send another squad of hooligans to my home."
Halleck's brows rose.
"The search team disturbed you?"
"My wife. She's very sensitive. But to tell the truth, your search team was very polite, very careful. Outside of one little ornamental dish given to me by the late King of Sweden, they didn't break a thing."
"I'm sorry for that."
"I appreciate your concern."
His fleshy face contracting into a frown, Rudaki asked,
"But tell me, what is so important about this man, Kell? Why do you want to put him in protective custody?"
Halleck's eyes shifted from Rudaki to the dark holographic viewer set in the wall across her office, then back to the professor again.
"A man who can insert himself into every electronic broadcast across the solar system? He could be dangerous."
"Perhaps," Rudaki conceded. "But it seems to me that all he wants is for us to build a few starships."
"He wants to control the World Council," Halleck snapped. Before Rudaki could react, she went on. And his alien wife holds the secret of faster-than-light communications, as you yourself pointed out at the last council meeting.
According to Kel, the aliens are quite willing to give us such technology.
He told you that?
We had a long conversation last night. He does not appreciate your attempts to keep him under your thumb, nor your separating him from his wife.
That can't be helped.
Can't it? My sainted old grandmother used to tell me, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar.
Halleck went silent for a moment, studying Rudaki's face. What are you suggesting?
Nothing, the professor answered. Only that it would be better to have Kel's willing cooperation than to make an enemy of him, don't you think?
His willing cooperation?
Unite him with his wife. From what he tells me, the aliens on New Earth will willingly explain their FTL communications technology to us.
Halleck nodded slowly, but she was thinking, this man doesn't understand anything. I can't let Kel be reunited with his wife. If they can take control of every broadcast channel in the solar system, what else might he be capable of doing with her helping him? No, they've got to be kept separate.
Rudaki was watching her with an expectant smile on his usually dour face.
Makes him look like an old clown, Halleck thought. He's sheltered Kel. He probably knows where Kel's gone, although he denies it.
She let out a long, sighing breath.
Perhaps you're right, Professor, Halleck said. Perhaps I have been overly cautious. If Kel is willing to cooperate,
she let the thought dangle.
I'm sure he will, if you allow him to be with his wife, Rudaki assured her.
But we don't know where Kel is, Halleck pointed out. How can we bring about this reunion if we don't know where he is?
Rudaki started to answer, but hesitated before speaking a word.
He's thinking it over, Halleck judged. He knows where Kel has gone, but he's not going to tell me. Not willingly.
The professor finally said, Perhaps you should try contacting the other men who returned from New Earth with him. If anyone knows where Kel is, one of them is the most likely.
Halleck nodded. Yes, of course.
But she was thinking, You know where he's gone, little man. And you're going to tell me. The brain scan was completed in less than a minute. Aditi sat up straight as Castiglione came to her, looking unhappy.
Your husband has disappeared, he said, his voice flat, almost accusing.
Disappeared? Aditi asked.
Apparently he just walked out of the hotel we had put him in, right past an entire team of security guards.
Aditi kept her face from smiling, but inwardly she exulted. Jordan's gotten away from them.
A sly smile sneaking across his face, Castiglione asked, Would you happen to know where he might have gone?
She shook her head and answered as innocently as she could,
I haven't the faintest idea.
It was difficult to keep from laughing. Frankenheimer, meanwhile, was staring at the three-dimensional image of Aditi's brain.
Where's your communicator? He asked.
There's no device showing.
Glad of the opportunity to change the subject, Aditi got up from the recliner and stepped to the neurophysiologist's side.
You're looking for an artificial mechanism, she said. The system is composed of neural fibers, the same as my brain cells.
His boyish face twisting into a frown, Frankenheimer grumbled,
Then how am I supposed to see what the device is?
Castiglione bent over Frankenheimer's other shoulder.
It's not an artificial device?
It's not a natural device, Aditi corrected. But it's composed of the same type of cells as the rest of my brain. Neurons, glial cells, the rest.
For the first time since she'd met him, Frankenheimer looked annoyed.
Then how am I supposed to see what the device is like?
Aditi pursed her lips for a moment, then replied,
Perhaps if you allow me to work your imager,
you could highlight the communicator's cells?
I can try, she said.
Frankenheimer got up from the little wheeled chair.
Go right ahead, he said.
Aditi took the chair. Frankenheimer unclipped the pin mic from his shirt and handed it to her. As he started to explain the voice-activated control system, Aditi said,
I watched you working it. I think I understand how to do it.
Frankenheimer glanced at Castiglione, then answered,
Very well. Go right ahead. standing behind Aditi, Castiglione frowned unhappily. Kel just waltzes away from the team that was supposed to be holding him, and she can operate the imager after merely watching Frankenheimer use it for a few minutes. That's eerie. These people are frightening.